Next week, I'm planning to deliver first message from the Book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah is a huge book, and it covers lots of different subjects and topics, and it's a difficult book. And I hope that you will start to read Book of Isaiah, even from today. And my first message will cover basically about Isaiah and his calling. And so please remember the Book of Isaiah to be read. Becoming a man or woman of a thankful heart is a matter of the Lord's command. It is not optional. The reason behind this sentiment is very obvious as we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which says, In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is because becoming a thankful person is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Though the last two words of this 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in King James Bible are concerning you, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you in King James, the preposition concerning is most frequently translated as for in all other modern translations. The object of this will of God is very obviously you. So this is the will of God for you. How often we want to know of the will of God? And here is clear instruction concerning God's will for you. God wants you to give thanks to him in all things. That's the will of God. You is a plural word, which implies all readers of Paul's message, the individuals who are reading his message from 1 Thessalonians. 5:14 identifies you as brethren. In other words, the believers of Christ. Therefore, all believers are told to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the will of God for each and every one of us. When we study the subject of thankfulness, we must begin with a clear notion that not to be thankful people is a direct disobedience to the will of God. We will think about it a little bit later when we study the verse itself. Some people may think that it is a very unreasonable command because thankful heart is an abstract concept. If we clean or repair something in our house, we know exactly what we are expected to do. However, how can we make ourselves a thankful people? How can we measure our thankfulness toward God? In the first place, we do not know where to begin with. Concerning this question, we may find a clue from a word study. In old Anglo-Saxon language, thankfulness means, in fact, thankfulness. Thinking of all God's goodness that draws forth gratitude. It is the same concept that being thankful is a trait engraved in our character as we studied some weeks ago. It is the same concept that being thankful is a trait engraved in our character. How and what we think determines our character. Therefore, it is wise to stay away from angry, complaining, judgmental, or narcissistic people because they cannot be thankful people. They are selfish and self-oriented. A heart of thanksgiving brings joy to life regardless of life circumstances. Joyful life is linked with a thankful heart. There are three lessons we are going to learn about giving thanks from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 today, and some more ingredients from that particular verse we are going to study some other time. But 3 points. Number one, give thanks always. Number two, give thanks for all things. Number three, more applicable and practical question. How should we give thanks always for all things to God? So let me begin with the first point, giving thanks always. It sounds like a very simple exhortation without a really ample meaning at all at our first glance of it. First of all, giving thanks requires our thinking. It is not too hard to connect giving thanks to thinking. It is because we could see this connection even by their etymologies. There are at least two reasons why thanking and thinking must go together. In order to give thanks, we should be able to appreciate the things in our knowledge. If we do not have anything in our knowledge, then we do not know what to be thankful for and what we should thank for. They have already gone through our thinking process and have been properly evaluated and judged in our minds, and we appreciate what we have thought through and thought about. Think means to exercise the powers of judgment, its conception, or inference. In a word, to think includes to reason. Think means to have in mind, to mind or call to mind a thought. In a word, to think includes to remember. Remembrance. If thinking involves mind, then thinking also must be closely related to character, because as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So therefore, if someone is unthankful, ungrateful in his heart, then he cannot but be an ungrateful person in his thoughts and thinking. Think means to have the mind engaged in reflection. In a word, to think includes to meditate. As a result, when we think, we can have opinions. Good and right opinions can be formed by good and right thinking. As a result, we will be able to appreciate what we have experienced or what we have. Thinking is a process, and good observations are needed in this thinking process. If we think based on faulty observations, then the directions of our thinking become faulty. Good and right observations will formulate certain perspectives in our minds. Good observations must be focused on facts. Otherwise, our thinking will be confused and eventually we are going to make misjudgments. If our observations are faulty, then the conclusion of our thinking based on observations is simply our own interpretations or our opinions of any happening or any object or any event. Even if our observations are correct, unless we know the objective truth, we may wrongly understand what we have observed, because we have observed what we have observed will subject to our subjective opinions or judgments. Friedrich Nietzsche said, in quote, "There are no facts, only interpretations," end of quote. So sometimes we have done certain kind deeds to certain individuals out of our good intention, good heart for them. However, they do not appreciate what we have done, but rather they may be angry. It is because they did not know the objective truth, what we are trying to do for them, but based on their own prejudices and biases, they interpret what we have done. As a result, they are so upset. So we have been kind to them, but they are not appreciative of us. That happens. Well, in fact, Nietzsche said it because he denied the objective truth. We must not be surprised that even facts may not yield truth. It is because even the facts can be misunderstood or misrepresented by our perceived opinions or so-called interpretations. We may even call them prejudice. Think of Christian heresies. They use the same Bible we use, but their conclusions are different from Orthodox Christianity. With the importance of our thinking to produce a thankful heart, we must face the reality of the condition of our mind, our inner beings. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 is quite significant in terms of giving understanding or insight of our heart or our inner beings. Genesis 6, 5. Would you like to read it? Genesis 6, 5. Okay, let's read it together. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. So if you look at the verse very carefully, it says that wickedness of man was so great in the earth, and here is how God saw people before Noah's flood. That it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, that's the extent of the evilness of man. Every imagination is just evil. And he says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Duration of evilness is just continually. The last part of the verse says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is the condition of a sinful heart. Psalm 94 verse 11 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, I'm sorry, I think I misquoted here. Now we must see the uphill battle even to be the people of gratitude because of our depravity within us. Fundamentally, we are ungrateful people by nature. From the evil heart, only evil things are coming. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart, not someone's heart, but everybody's heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. At this point, a real question must come into our minds. If we are to be thankful or to give thanks, there must be the object or objects to which or to whom we ought to be thankful. And what is it? What is the object of our thanksgiving? Foremostly, I believe, it is God to whom we must give our thanks. It is because he is the creator. Without him, we do not exist. As Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. We are also his offspring. We are coming from him. He is our origin, therefore we ought to give our thanks unto him. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. This is a very famous passage in relation to homosexual issues. And someday I'm going to deal with it to talk about LGBTQA view. However, before that thought comes into the context, these are the verses God wants us to know about. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It is a deadly sin not to be thankful to the God of creation. And we ought to give our thanks unto God always. It is important for us to know when to be thankful. Giving thanks in Greek, in the text, giving thanks in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Greek word is a present tense, which means a continuous action. Or we could say that it refers to our habitual practice. It is not just a one-time act, but is a continual action. It may indicate that giving thanks is not something that we always do by nature. That's why it is commanded. We need to be exhorted and reminded of doing it. It does not mean that we are always ungrateful people either. We know that we should be thankful for all things, and we are taught to be thankful, and we even make efforts to make sure that we express our appreciations. However, a problem lies in its frequency or duration. We give thanks occasionally or even most of the times, but not always. Then what is the reason we fail to give thanks always? I would not simply say that it is because we are corrupt and sinners. It is true, but we want to know what it really means. How does our corrupt and sinful nature affect and make us to fail to give thanks always? First of all, we have, one of the reasons is, first of all, we have too much confidence in ourselves, knowingly and unknowingly. Too often we live without relying on God and think that we can do what we ought to do. It means that we do not feel any need to get helped by God. Even without crying unto God, we have sufficiency in our life. If we can do what we ought to do, to whom should we give thanks always, but to ourselves? Then some of you may say, who amongst the believers of Christ does not want to get assisted by God? And they may say, it is an exaggeration to say that some believers have too much confidence to desire to get helped by God. It may be true, however, we cannot deny that all of us do have a spirit of self-reliance instead of relying on God all the time. Jerry Bridges aptly says that we must, in quote, first renounce all confidence in our own power and then rely entirely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be enabled, not merely helped. And what is the difference? The word help implies we have some ability, but not enough. We need someone else to supplement our partially adequate ability. By contrast, enablement implies that we have no ability whatsoever. We are entirely powerless. We can do nothing, as John 15 verse 5 says. But when by faith we renounce self-sufficiency and embrace reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive divine empowerment, enablement, and strength for personal transformation and ministry, end of quote. In other words, in short, the Holy Spirit enables us to continually manifest an attitude of gratitude in order to be able to give thanks unto God always for all things. We need to depend on the Spirit of God. Another reason that we fail to give thanks to God always is that we take God and His grace for granted too much. We assume what God must do and will do for us. And so we feel that God is obligated to do something for us whenever we tell Him. We think that our good God must provide us with all good things, including health, wealth, or life circumstances as we wish. When we are sick or even terminally ill, we think that it is abnormal. God must do something about it. We may wish for something or pray for things we need to God for His supplies. However, faith is not the same as assumptions. We assume that God must do something for us as we wish and fall into an illusion that it is our faith demanding it. It causes us not to be thankful in certain conditions or situations if they are against our wishes or assumptions, and we feel that God does not do what He ought to do. Ray Pritchard writes that, in quote, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. If one expects nothing, then anything is bonus. If one expects more than he receives, then he is disappointed. We are so prone to complain because roses have thorns than to give thanks because thorns have roses. End of quote. We should never take God and His grace for granted. There is no responsibility. There is no obligation on the part of God. In fact, we are unworthy of asking Him anything, in fact. Asking God is a privilege, and God is so merciful to us by granting that privilege for us to be able to ask Him for things we need. And always means, literally always, it means that no matter what trials we may face, or how deep the waters through which we must pass, the true Christian should give thanks always for all things. Always means at all times, on all occasions, forever, or in any rate. The synonyms of always are consistently, continually, invariably, or day and night. We can use always with continuous verb forms to refer to regular events or states, especially ones which are problematic or which we do not like or want. In a word, always goes together with continual actions. These continual actions go beyond any circumstances or any conditions. Therefore, giving thanks is a continual action that we should demonstrate. Always also means all the time, which also means very often or continually, and is commonly used to refer to things that people do not like or do not want to happen. Having considered giving thanks always, we may confidently say that a person of grateful heart is characterized by his constant and continual thanksgiving. So the person with thankful heart does not forget to say thank you always. It is not a one-time act or even sporadic gestures, but ongoing and never-ceasing attitude produced by inner character. It means that people who give thanks to the Lord appreciate God's kindness and grace that are and are in good progress conformed to His image, unless they either understand or completely trust in God, it is not possible for them to give thanks to Him always. Give Him thanks always. And secondly, giving thanks for all things this time. We find a similar exhortation from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." I think what this verse says is well illustrated by a story in the autobiography of the late Dr. Clarence McCartney. So this is a story from his autobiography. Two men were passing through a field in the country when they were charged by an enraged bull. They started for the nearest fence, but it was soon apparent that they couldn't make it before the animal reached them. One said to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We are in for it." But John answered, "I can't. I never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," said his companion. "The bull will soon be upon us." "All right," panted John. "I'll give you the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Well, I do not know the end of the whole story. We may smile at this story, yet it is true that no matter what trials we may face or how heavy the burdens we must bear, the true Christian should give thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things teaches us about the readiness of giving thanks. It is because there is no chance for us to have any time or any occasion not to give thanks if we give thanks always for all things. Giving thanks is a sign of our inner spiritual life. The heart is dead if there is no gracious gratitude. The heart is dead if there is no gracious gratitude. You know, that's the same saying that Dr. Bob Sr. used to say. And based on this particular spirit, the heart is dead if there is no gracious gratitude. If anyone sends anonymous gift to the students at Bob Jones University, and if the student does not present a thank you note toward that person, then the gift is taken away by the business office of the campus. So gift is given to the business office, designated, you know, so-and-so to be the recipient. If the recipient, without knowing who the giver is, if the recipient does not present the thank you note to the business office within 3 days after the notice is given to him, then this gift is taken back to the giver. It is because if that person is not thankful enough to write a thank you note, he does not deserve to receive the gift. Spiritual life lives in the heart of gratitude. As a fish lives in water, and as the leaf is green when it is alive. Giving thanks always for all things is a token of a consistent and enduring faith. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed." By the way, by this time, if anyone was praying unto any other god or gods besides the statue made up the king, that person was in subjection to some sort of punishment, and the death penalty was given to him. And Daniel knew this, but he went back to his own room, and he opened his room windows so everybody could see, and he bowed down toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. Then, in fact, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, second half says this, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So before this incident happened, he was the person who gave thanks unto God always for all things. Now things happened against him, still he was giving thanks before his God as before. There were no apparent good circumstances for Daniel to give thanks to God, but he kept thanking him, even in this adverse time. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." He was giving this thanksgiving prayer in the fish's belly. Giving thanks is also a sign that he lives in the grace of God. It is a humble confession that we cannot be who we ought to be without the grace of God. Constant thanksgiving is a response to his grace, recognition, acknowledgement of his grace in his life. It is a humble recognition that God is with us whatever befalls us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So even in the unimaginable circumstances, we acknowledge that the presence of God is with us. Therefore, we give thanks to God even for those circumstances. Giving thanks always for all things is a fruit of faith. When always goes together with for all things, we cannot but think of enduring conditions of life. So always goes together for all things. Time factor is combined with realities of life here. We may think of two extreme examples. If all things refer to afflictions and trials, and the involved time factor is only temporary moments or limited time which is knowable, then most of us may endure trials and afflictions. However, if they are coming with unknowable long period of time, most of us probably are ready to give up, to live by faith, and to give thanks to God. We may think of the opposite state of our life. If we are prosperous and do not have any immediate threats in life, and literally we have everything we want, even to feel that there is no reason to rely on God for anything, and we want to pray to God, but we realize that there is really nothing to ask him because everything we have. Thus we forget the giver of all things, and we forget to give thanks to him. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15 says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Here, Jeshurun is a poetic name for Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Judah was so blessed and waxed fat. Then Jerusalem forgot God, and Jerusalem lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. When she became rich and enjoyed a prosperous and safe life, she forgot God and lightly regarded him. She did not have any thanks in her heart to God who made her. Only enduring faith can give thanks to God always for all things. James 5 verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy." Giving thanks to God always for all things cannot but be a fruit of faith, because it is not possible in our natural inclinations to give thanks always for all things, but only in our faith in God's supernatural and even incomprehensible providence. It may interest you to know the context in which our theme is found. Ephesians 5:20, we have been memorizing those verses. In its immediate context, chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 say this. Ephesians 5:18 and 19. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." What fills us will enable us to give thanks to God always for all things, and it is the filling of the Spirit of God. When we are filled with the Spirit of God in our inner beings, we are able to give thanks for all things, always. I heard a testimony from a pastor in the States many years ago, and I shared it not too long ago with you, but let me repeat it again one more time. One night, he received a phone call from a church member that her child was taken by an ambulance to the hospital. The child was in incredible condition, and she was in a very critical condition. He hurried himself to get to the hospital, only to find out the child had already died. He wanted to comfort the parents by all means and told them that in his own mysteries, our good God would make all things for good eventually. Then one of the parents smashed him with punches and shouted at him that they did not need such a God. Can you see how hard it is to give thanks always for all things? There was a couple fervently believing in God. They met in church as young people in youth group. They married and they had a child. One day the wife was sick and diagnosed for cancer. While she was under a very harsh treatment, you know, very serious treatments, her dedicated husband also was diagnosed for cancer. And in fact, he eventually died while she was being treated. Can you imagine how she felt? She survived the cancer and had to live with their daughter. We can hear such testimonies endlessly from other believers. By the way, the lady has been continually serving the Lord faithfully and giving thanks to the Lord always for all things. It is not her natural inclination, but her God's enabling grace and power that has kept her. Our faith to give thanks always for all things also rests on what God has done for us in the past. J. Oatman wrote a beautiful hymn like this. "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Giving thanks always for all things is for our happiness. Giving thanks always for all things makes our life richer and happier. If anyone asks me if there is any pathway to be a happier life, I would say that it is to give thanks always for all things. When we become grateful and thankful people, we will also make other people happier too. One day, in the early 30s, William Steger and a fellow pastor sat in a restaurant talking about the worldwide depression, the suffering people, rich committing suicide, the jobless. The pastor said, in 2 or 3 weeks, I have to preach on Thanksgiving Day. What can I say? The teacher said it was like the Spirit of God answered their question. Why not thank those people who have been a blessing in your life and affirm them during this terrible time? He thought of an English teacher who had instilled in him a love of literature and verse, affecting all his writing and preaching. So he wrote to her. In a matter of days, he got a reply in the feeble scrawl of the aged. My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I am in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. You will be interested to know that I taught in school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done in many years. End of the story. And I wonder whether you have ever sent a thank you note to someone who has been a blessing to you in the past and since then and onwards, or once upon a time who was extremely kind to you, maybe when you were extremely discouraged and disappointed, that person encouraged you, or when you needed something, that person provided your needs. One of the things I think Myung and I have wanted to practice is to be really thankful people, live with thanksgiving. And I think there is no day that we do not mention thanking to God for various things. And in particular, we have been thankful for two pastors in our lives. And the one pastor is the one who sent me, encouraged me to go to Bible college. And under his ministry, Myung and I met, and we have been keeping in touch with him all these years. And from his ministry, I left more than probably 39 years, something like that. But still we are in contact with him. And yearly basis, a few times a year, I do call him and I do talk to him. And if there is anything happen to him, I do send him love gifts. And another pastor is the pastor who enabled me to be able to study my doctoral degree in Florida. And during my missionary journey, he was one of the main supporters. Even though the worldwide economy was so bad and there was financial crisis and so on, he helped me so much, and he was the one who prayed for me consistently. So Myung and I promised to him and his wife that someday we will take them out somewhere for a trip. And so I really wanted to take them out for a special trip to honor them. However, his time and my time, somehow we could not have the same available time period. So I have been looking for opportunities to treat them for a few years. And finally, I realized that we could not have that time. And he's getting older, and I'm still bound with different responsibilities, and I have only certain time I can take for my availability. So a few weeks ago, we saved some money over the last few years, and we sent a big chunk of money as a gift to the couple, and I told them that I wanted them to spend the money for their special trip somewhere in a nice place. The reason that I'm saying is this, that it is so easy for us to forget the blessings we have received from other people, from God as well. And as a result, we miss all those opportunities to give thanks to those individuals or to our God. As a result, our hearts are not grateful heart or thankful heart, but rather our hearts are filled with complaints and anxieties and all other matters but thanksgiving. But by being thankful for others who have been kind to us, in fact, we become happier, and they will be happier too. When was the last time you wrote a thank you note to somebody genuinely? Thank you. Joy and thanksgiving are good companions. We all know 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Colossians 1, 11 and 12 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. If we connect joyfulness in verse 11 and giving thanks unto the Father in verse 12, we come up with joyously giving thanks to the Father. It does not surprise me that thanksgiving is associated with joy, because both words are related to the same Greek root, charis, which means grace. After all, grace is the foundation for believers enabled by the Spirit of God to joyously give thanks. If we read Colossians 1:11 a bit more carefully, joyfulness must be found when the circumstances are not very joy-filled. The attitude of ingratitude does not make us happy, but unhappy. Not contented, but discontented. Not satisfied, but dissatisfied. Have you ever met a person who is happy but ungrateful? Happy people are grateful people. Ingratitude is one of the features of pagan depravity. As we read before, Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So you may know God, but you may not be thankful to him. Then, in fact, you are not really different from those ones who are ungodly and unrighteous. Most of the unhappy people I have met in my life are ungrateful people. Their hearts are usually full of bitterness, complaints, critical spirit, or discontentment. Ungrateful mind invites negative feelings, depression, despair, or rebellious attitude. If a husband is grateful for his wife's companionship, I think he will love her. If a wife is grateful for her husband's companionship, she will respect him. If children are grateful for their parents, they will honor them. If parents are grateful for their children, they will not provoke them unnecessarily. An attitude of gratitude is a weapon against unbelief, a bitter spirit, jealousy, and disobedience. I would say that the opposite of gratitude is the attitude of complaints. Being grateful always for all things leads us to live by faith, which is a blessed life. G.K. Chesterton was once asked what was the greatest lesson he had ever learned, to which he replied, in quote, "The greatest lesson I have learned is to take things with gratitude and not take them for granted." Chesterton added that, "You say grace before meals, all right. But I say grace before the concert and the opera, and grace before the play and pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, walking, playing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink." All things in our life are the tokens of our gracious God, to whom we give thanks. You know, I constantly remind this to myself as well. As a pastor, I should give thanks to God always for all things. And I need to give thanks for my congregation always, regardless, for all things. Some years ago, I do not say where it happened, someone gave me a Christmas card and small chocolate, and this person gave them to me. So I thanked him. And then I heard a bunch of accusations with Christmas gift. And so I wasn't sure how to respond to such a time. Here is the Christmas card coming with a Christmas gift, which is chocolate. Then a bunch of harsh and cruel words coming together toward me over this Christmas card. What should I do? Initially, there was a shock, but I was ended up with thanksgiving. That's what we should do. Last year, we visited, you know, two churches in Korea during our break. And those congregations are the congregations that have been praying for me for many decades already, and they have been very kind to me and kind to us and kind to our family. So we decided to treat them in a very special way. So we offered them lunch meals for both churches because we wanted to be thankful. And we wanted them to know that we are very thankful. Well, I hope that you and I will ever be thankful people. How should we give thanks always for all things to God? I would say that it is to remember what He has done for us in the past. Remember, one of the repeated stories in the Bible is what He had done for His people. For example, the Exodus story was repeated whenever the children of Israel went back to idolatry or committed sins against Him. So whenever God came back to Israel and scolded them or talked to them for their repentance, He always repeated the same story. I am the one who delivered you out of Egypt. When they forgot what the Lord had done for them, they became ungrateful people. Giving thanks always for all things implies that we positively remember all the grace we have received in the past, and we are grateful for them. It is not only to God or toward God, but also toward anybody. If we are the people forgetting kindness and care we have received so easily, it is not possible for us to give thanks always for all things. Billy Sunday was a very well-known baseball player in America more than a century ago. He was born into poverty in Iowa, in the United States, and played for local running and baseball teams. He later played baseball in the Major League for 8 years. When he was converted to Christianity, he left baseball and eventually became the nation's most famous evangelist. His father died early, and his mother had to send him with another child to Iowa Soldiers Orphans Home. He estimated that he had preached nearly 20,000 sermons, an average of 42 sermons per month from 1896 to 1935. Here is a story about him. In the early 1900s, a policeman was walking his route circuit in Chicago when he observed a man standing before a little mission. He had removed his hat, and the officer thought he was acting rather strangely. Thinking the man might be drunk or ill, the policeman approached him. He noticed that his eyes were closed, so he nudged him and said, "What's the matter, man? Are you sick?" The man looked up and smiled. "No, sir. My name is Billy Sunday. I was converted right here in this mission. I never pass this way without taking the opportunity, if possible, to stand quietly for a moment and whisper a prayer of thanksgiving." End of quote. There is a place called the Chicago something missions in Chicago, and it is for the people, homeless people, those people who are living on the street and so on. They are providing bed and food at night, and during the daytime they have to go out, but every night they have to join the worship service. And so Billy Sunday did not forget his conversion, and he was so grateful for the ministry that influence on him. And he never forgot that thankful heart. At this point, I must say amen. A psalmist says, bless the Lord my soul and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103 verse 2. Thanksgiving comes into our hearts when we count the blessings we have received. Remember the grace you have received. And our mind, then secondly, do not forget the grace you have received in the past. Secondly, our mind must be educated to give thanks always for all things. Our mind may remain uneducated in many ways. For example, we may take things for granted. Father's hard work, mother's devotion to her family, dedicated teachers' efforts to prepare quality lessons, serving people at restaurants, doctors and nurses in hospital, firefighters, policemen and women, committee members of fellowship groups, hospitable and kind people in church, and the list goes on. It is important for us to recognize others' kindness to us with thanks, neither taking them for granted nor ignoring them. That's why we teach our children to say thank you since they are very young. We need to teach them to say thank you. We need to be taught to give thanks always for all things. So when Myung and I, whenever we go, wherever we go, I always carry between $30 to $50 worth of $1 U.S. bills. And I share those $1 bills with the ones who are sweeping on the hotel corridors because no one really cares for them. And those people working around elevator doors and so on. Those people serving us a dollar bill. And they are so thankful. I do not want to ignore their kindness. Whenever I'm served in a restaurant in Cambodia or Indonesia, if a man is serving me, then I always say, thank you, sir. And if a woman is serving me, then I always say, thank you, ma'am, or say, thank you, madam. And they are so surprised and they are shocked. And, oh, no, I'm not sir, I'm not madam, I'm not ma'am. But I could see how delighted they are. Their service is truly recognized. I wanted to make sure that they know that I am very appreciated for their services. We need to teach ourselves. When I see Christians very rude in the restaurants, I'm not happy with that. Those people who are serving us, we need to honor them, and we need to respect them, we need to thank them. Giving thanks always for all things is hard. It is because giving thanks always for all things implies that we ought to be thankful at every present moment. Thus, giving thanks is a command, which makes giving thanks a duty. It is not to manipulate our minds to do something that we do not want to, but to discipline, educate, or train our minds to do what is right. It is a purpose of education. Duties must be taught by repetitions. It is well explained when Charles Spurgeon said, in quote, I have not always found it easy to practice this duty. This I confess to my shame. When suffering extreme pain some time ago, a brother in Christ said to me, have you thanked God for this? I reply that I desire to be patient and would be thankful to recover. But, said he, in everything give thanks, not after it is over, but while you are still in it, and perhaps when you are enabled to give thanks for the severe pain, it will cease. End of quote. I believe that there was much force in that good advice. Educate yourselves to be thanks to all, always. Parents with Sunday school children, have you ever thanked your children's Sunday school teachers for their services? And those people who have enjoyed the choir's singing, have you thanked them for their diligent practices? Kitchen committee, week after week, they are working very hard. Have you ever thanked them for their kind services for you? And there are people who are cleaning the hole in the sanctuary, taking the trash bins out, and so on. You may have watched them, but have you ever told those individuals how much you are grateful for their services? Or have you been willing to do it for others? Have you thanked, especially committee members of various fellowship groups? They are really working very hard. And have you thanked them for their, you know, faithful ministries? There are people who are praying for you. Maybe there are people occasionally providing meals for you. Have you ever thanked them? Do not take for granted. That's the beginning of misery. Be thankful. Be thankful. We ought to give thanks always for all things by remembering the past grace and by making it habitual to give thanks always for all things. And here I cannot miss a point. Have you ever thanked to your parents? Have you ever thanked to your grandparents? Or have you ever thanked to your children? These days, one of the serious social problems is, I think, the broken relationships in the families. They are harboring some sort of, ill feelings against each other. As a result, a family is not getting along. There may be times of conflicts. But what I'm hoping to say to you is that, you know, life is not that long to keep those ill feelings in your heart. But I'm sure that there were moments when you were so thankful for those individuals, even in your family members. And remember those graces and thank them. Be grateful before it will be too late. What an honor to be able to say thank you to mom. Thank you to dad. Thank you to even aunties and uncles. That is a blessing. Do not miss out from those opportunities. We become joyously happy people when we have thankful heart. Birds of feather flock together. Do you know what that means? If you know who your friends are, you shall know what kind of person you may be. If your friends are complainers, possibly you are one of such. If your friends are backbiters, probably you are one of which. You know, when I visited a lot of churches, and most churches do have internal conflicts. But the interesting thing is that if someone has a complaint about that particular church, basically all of his friends are complainers. Quite interesting. Check out where you belong to and what kind of fellowship you have. Psalm 9 verse 11 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy wonderful, marvelous works. Psalm 18 verse 49 says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 28 verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. Psalm 30 verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 86 verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. The more thanks we give unto God, the more thankful people we will become. Thankful heart is a character trait. People these days often focus on their genius they possess. So how smart, so how good grade and scores they can make, their children can make. This is a pride of parents. And how high rank they can climb up. So people are talking about intelligence and geniusness and so on. But what really matters is our character, really. Adam Grant wrote a book not too long ago. Book title is Hidden Potential. You may want to read it if you want to. Hidden Potential. And in this book, Adam Grant says this. If personality is if personality is how you respond on a typical day, if personality is how you respond on a typical day, character is how you show up on a hard day. In order to give thanks always for all things, you need that character. Sometimes giving thanks, everybody can do it. Give thanks always for all things, not everyone is able to do it. Let me read it again. If personality is how you respond on a typical day, character is how you show up on a hard day. Be thankful always for all things unto God, and discipline your minds to follow this spiritual principle. So from now on and onwards, let us make it our habit to say thank you. Thank you. Let's show our appreciation and thanksgiving unto God first and to one another. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, what a command we have received. What a great word of God we have learned about. It is that we should give thanks always for all things unto our God. Father, that's what we desire to practice. And we desire to make it our habit, spiritual habit, Lord. And as a result, thanksgiving is deeply engraved in our hearts, in our character. Father, sometimes there are things for which we feel it very hard to be thankful for. But dear gracious Heavenly Father, we desire to be able to give thanks always for all things. Enable us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.